Jiu-jitsu? Jiu-jitsu is no joke. It takes years to master.
Martial arts are a vehicle for developing your human potential.
Training in BJJ offers a powerful lens through which to examine some primary human concerns: truth versus delusion, self-knowledge, ethics, and overcoming fear.
There's more philosophy in our mats than actually philosophy in any Ivy League school.
Welcome to Philosophy.
What up, guys?
What's up, everybody? We're back again for the second episode of Philosophy. It's in John Jitsu here.
Iki here. Again.
Iki, how do you think the first episode went?
Man, overall, I'm pretty happy. Like, for the most part, part people liked it. Everybody enjoyed the content. Biggest complaint was the sound.
I know. Which hopefully, as you guys are listening now, hopefully you can see we've sorted it out. We do apologize for that initial hiccup, but you know, bear with us. We're new to this game, so.
Yeah, and thanks for sticking through it, because that was some warrior shit, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, if you made it the whole 25 minutes in the last episode, I'm extremely impressed.
Yeah.
And kind of concerned. Like, you guys need to get out more.
Yeah.
No, just kidding.
Oh, by the way, a funny thing about podcasts is, like, I have friends who, like, are not into listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, that sometimes some people feel like they have to stop doing everything.
Exactly.
Just to focus on listening on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, I do it, like, while I'm washing my dishes and doing my laundry and stuff.
Exactly.
Or on the train.
I do the same. I love just walking down the street and listening to podcasts. So.
Yeah. Cool. But anyways, let's get to it, bro.
Tell them.
Yeah, so today we are going to start with the new format of the podcast, right? And we were thinking about how are we going to approach this? And we came up with an idea. And we're going to approach every episode as a belt, following the belt ranking that Jiu-Jitsu has.
Mm-hmm.
The first episode is going to be about white belt and the mentality, what it entails, and what's the goal. And then we're going to relate that to everyday life, especially to learning new skills. Because to an extent, learning new things in life, it's not just what takes you ahead to the next level, but it's kind of like what makes you survive where you are. Because the more you're good at whatever you're doing at the moment, you know, the more you can thrive.
Exactly. And I think another thing to point out for our listeners who maybe by the off chance you don't do jiu-jitsu, I'll just give you like a little rundown of the belt system in jiu-jitsu so you understand what we're talking about. So in jiu-jitsu, there are five belts. There's the white belt, which is the lowest level. Then there's blue belt, purple belt, brown belt, black belt. Obviously, through each belt, you're getting more experienced. I'd say white and blue belt are still considered lower levels. As you get to a purple belt, it's almost considered like a black belt in most traditional martial arts. Then brown and black belt is just like next level. For most of us, it almost seems like an unachievable goal. They actually say, I think the average time to get a black belt in jiu-jitsu is anywhere from 10 to 12 years, which some of you may be listening to and saying, wow, that's insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, just so you guys know, that's the format that we're working with here.
And after the black belt comes the red belt, but that is like a... almost like a myth.
Yeah, I actually think it's like called the coral belt, so it's got black and red mixed with it. Anyway, that's neither Iki nor I don't think that's in our near futures, but
yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
But sorry, please continue, Iki.
So today we're actually going to interview someone, and every episode for each belt, we're going to interview a person that is on the belt after that belt, meaning for a white belt, when we talk about the white belt, we're going to interview a blue belt. And and for a blue belt, we're going to interview a purple. And for purple, we're going to interview a brown belt. So today we got a special, amazing guest. This guy is insanely good. Like, he's been a white belt. Like, he's good at being a white belt. That's for sure. He's been a white belt for almost 10 years, if not more. This is preposterous. And yeah, like, who else better than a lifelong white belt jiu-jitsu martial artist to interview than today? Ladies and gentlemen, you don't need to get up, but put your hands together for my man, Jiu-Jitsu.
Thank you very much. That was quite an introduction. Yes, as Iki mentioned, I was a white belt for almost 10 years. Yeah. The first time that I ever did Jiu-Jitsu was back in 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
And for those listening in the future sometime, it's currently 2019.
Damn, son.
I just received my blue belt last year. And as every white belt that is listening to this podcast knows, everybody dreams of the day that they won't have to wear the white belt.
Sure.
It's a very like formative time in your jiu-jitsu journey, but it's also something that you just cannot wait to get past. That sound about right?
Sounds like, I mean, I've been a white belt for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, when you are like sparring with a blue belt and stuff, it's like having a good match or a good fighting sparring session with them, where you don't get choked to another dimension. It's like, it's so exciting. It's like, oh my God. But one thing that put things into perspective for me was reading this book, Jiu-Jitsu University,
mm-hmm.
and also talking to you actually about like, sort of like, dude, as a white belt, it's good that you can choke blue belts, and that means that you can choke or do well against them. That means that you're evolving, you're getting better, you're understanding Jiu-Jitsu a little bit better. But the most important things as a white belt is understanding how to be in the academy, how to treat people, and slowly making Jiu-Jitsu a part of your life. And most importantly, is understanding how to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think first and foremost, right, for you, what makes a white belt?
Oh, man. You know, I think white belt and also blue belts, obviously I can't speak to the other belts because I'm not there yet. But I find that with white belt, there's such an insanely large range of ability and knowledge. You know, the first day that you step into the academy and step on the mats, that's the day that you're going to get your white belt, right? But then at the same time, you've got guys around you who've been training 2, maybe even 10 years on and off, like myself, who are still white belts. So I think, first and foremost, the white belt, there's such a range of knowledge. Additionally, I think what's cool about the white belt stage is that there really is extremely low expectations of what your jiu-jitsu should be. It's kind of like that is white and blue belt, to be honest, I think, is your time to like experiment, learn as much as you can. There's going to be so many new things coming your way, new positions. It's your time to be okay with not knowing.
And you know, an interesting way where this actually relates to everyday life is one of the things that came, like people brought up after sharing the podcast with them was, oh, I actually want to start something like that. So yeah, keep doing it and let me know how it's going.
Yeah.
And even when people were telling us about how the sound was not good, I was like, oh man, that was really bad.
Yeah.
Or the between takes. And it kind of made me think about, okay, that sucks, but this is the first time I'm doing a podcast. We're white belts.
Yep.
And the thing about not putting any expectations and making, it gives perspective also, so that you don't get overly sad over, oh, I'm not doing this well. It's like, you're a white belt.
Yeah, exactly. In a sense, we shouldn't have, we're white belts in the podcast world. You know, it's like, in a sense, we shouldn't have done everything perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
If we were black belts at podcasts and we were still making mistakes with the sound, whatever.
I mean, the good thing about jiu-jitsu is that excuses don't count. Like, I mean, if it was a real life situation threatening that you had to defend yourself, you're gonna die.
Yeah.
but at the same time, it's also realizing that as a white belt, I guess, the most important thing is actually just going to class, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, it's like when starting something, like as a white belt in any skill, I think just consistency to doing it often enough, it's like might be more important than actual amazing success.
Yeah, totally. I mean, forming, I mean, that's actually really good that you said that. It actually segues into me. Probably, I should probably explain to everyone, why was I a white belt for 10 years?
Yeah.
You know, because that's, if you're listening now, that's not the normal trajectory of people that start jiu-jitsu. I'd say, in my experience, like a good time to transition from white to blue belt would be maybe 2 to 3 years, depending on what your professor sees. You know, there's obviously exceptions, some longer, some shorter, but in my experience, what I've seen is anywhere from 2 to 3 years. But you're probably wondering, John Jitsu, why did it take you 10 years? You know, I started jiu-jitsu for what I consider to be, for myself, was a young age. I was 17. I'm 28 now. And I didn't see, I couldn't predict how important jiu-jitsu was going to be in my life. When I started, it was just almost like exercise for me. It was just something fun to do. I didn't actually see how much it was going to impact my life. So I trained in high school. Every day after school, I'd go to the academy and I'd train for a little bit and I'd have a great time, sweat a little bit, go home and move on with my life. And then I went to university, and unfortunately, I kind of fell off the train when I was in university, partying, things like that. You know, the story that everybody tells, go to university, that was my time to have fun. I was finally a man out in the world on my own. And I didn't train, which to this day is one of my biggest regrets. I trained here and there. You know, I went, my university had a jiu-jitsu club. I showed up to a few practices. Got choked incredibly because you can't, it's pretty hard to balance a heavy partying schedule with a heavy jiu-jitsu schedule. I just trained on and off, never consistently. And that's a big lesson that you learn as a white belt. You need to form the habits, that is, make jiu-jitsu something that's consistent in your life. And if you treat it as, oh, I'm gonna train this month, but maybe not next month, you're not going to get very far in jiu-jitsu.
And I think a good lesson that jiu-jitsu teaches, that I see it on everyday thing, it's like, it's almost like a Buddhist lesson about looking at things without judging them. There's this Buddhist story, right? It's like, I don't remember very well, guys, so don't judge. But it's like, there was this farmer, right? And he had a horse. And something was happening where his son was riding the horse, and then his son fell off the horse and broke his back. So everybody in the village was like, oh no, that is so bad. Look at what happened with your son.
Because he couldn't train jiu-jitsu?
No. because he was like just in bed, of course, right?
Yeah.
No more judo Fridays for him.
Yeah. Was he a white belt too? Sorry.
But what happens is, a few days pass, and apparently, like, there's a war that starts, and they need people from the village to come to the war. So when they go recruit people, they can't take his son because he's sick.
Yeah.
So at least he has his son for sure.
Yeah.
So then everybody's like, oh, that's so good. And every time something would happen, the farmer guy, he would be like, hey, it's in the good, no bad. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the story keeps going on and on, man. It's like but the lesson is that whatever happens, don't put your ego so attached to it, right? Like, sort of like, there are days, I remember there was this day, there was this week where one day I was just crushing it. Yeah. There is this expression in Portuguese, passei o carro, that means like you just go through everyone, like you pass the guard, like it's a street, you just pass by. And then,
Was I injured this week?
shots fired. But then, like, I had like such a good day, not a week. Okay, gotta be honest. But then, on the weekend, I was like the dummy from the gym. You know, it's like everybody was just playing around with me.
Yeah.
Everyone. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I was so sad. And you're like, dude, those are the moments that matter. Because when you just keep coming, whether you did good or bad, that's like when it's important. Kind of like not judging it and just keep coming and training.
Yeah.
That's the saying, like, a black belt is a white belt who never gave up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought of the Portuguese phrase of the day.
Yeah.
And it has to do with that. We'll save it for later.
Okay.
But I think we're going to, you stop me if you think it's not a good one, but good. For the people a little bit later, I've got a good one, a surprise
that
has to do with a black belt being a white belt that never gave up.
Yeah, because we're considering what are we gonna do for the Portuguese segment.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good.
By the way, guys, give us some feedback on the Portuguese lessons. Let us know if you think it's valuable, if you guys are learning, or even if it's funny. But yeah, you know, like what you were just saying, I think, especially as a white belt, this time of no judgment is so important. Jiu-jitsu, you need to leave your ego at the door and just know that you're not going to be the best guy in the room. No matter how tough you think you are, as a white belt, there's not a chance. You're a white belt for a reason. It's because you don't have that knowledge yet. You may be very athletic, you may be very tough, but that's your time to learn and grow with jiu-jitsu. And unfortunately, that means paying your dues, and you're probably going to get beaten quite a few times, and that's okay. There should be no judgment there. It's not a reflection on you as a person. It's about you learning and getting better.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like, that's difficult, like with anything that like you're learning. It's like learning how to sing. It's kind of like, oh, I can't sing. It's like kind of just focusing on the skill without putting yourself there, like just putting things aside. Like, okay, this is a skill that I'm learning. It doesn't mean anything about me. It's about the skill, my level of skill and not.
Totally. Yeah. I think I actually lucked out in a sense, because when I started jiu-jitsu, I had no image of myself as being a tough person.
Yeah.
It actually went the opposite way. I knew that I was going to get, you know, beaten. I knew I was going to be the grappling dummy, as you said.
Mm.
But there came a day where I started giving, you know, other white belts trouble and started tapping out people myself. And it started to actually build me up. I started to say, wow, maybe I'm not this weaker image that I've had of myself. Which is a super cool thing. So if you go into jiu-jitsu with no ego, only good can come from it, I think.
Yeah. So as a white belt, so far, we've dissected that a real white belt has to have the skill of survival, right? Actually, talking of survival, right? About a year ago, exactly a year ago, like I went from beginners, like, because in our gym, for the first 6 months, you don't really spar. You just learn the basics. There is a basic program that allows you to learn at a controlled pace,
mm-hmm.
where you're not gonna hurt yourself or hurt your opponents by sparring straight away, which is cool.
Yeah.
And then you get to intermediate, where the pace is a little bit faster, but you get to spar, and there is a big difference between learning things separately. And then the intermediate level is like trying to put them all together.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to one of my first few classes in intermediate, and then I go further and further. And one day I'm sparring with a guy from our gym.
His Shout name out is Guy. To Guy.
Shout out to Guy.
Yeah.
Guy is what in Portuguese is called a casca grossa.
Brucutu.
Yeah. And that means like just a savage.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, like, he takes my back,
mm.
and in my head, in my white belt head, I'm like, bro, I went to the beginner's program. I know how to defend the back attacks. And he's trying to put in a choke. He's trying to like put a choke, and I'm like, I got this.
Yeah.
I went through the white belt's program with Lawrence.
Yeah.
And I'm like sliding down, defending the hands. Yeah. And he can't really put in a choke, but then he grabs my leg.
Uh-oh.
Next thing I know, he's grabbing my collar,
uh-huh.
and it's a
bow and arrow.
Yeah. I'm still like, yeah, this is tight, but not that tight. Next thing I know, I went into another dimension, and I didn't even notice. A few seconds later, he quickly took his hand out, right? Mm-hmm. He noticed, and he just took his hand out, and I'm like, oh, why did we stop?
Yeah.
And I just see our coach saying, my friend, come here, sit with me. You actually fell asleep a bit. Come here, rest. And that was a great lesson, because this week, making about a year,
mm-hmm.
we went through exactly the same situation.
Yeah.
And this time around, the white belt program worked. Because like we sparred for 5 minutes and he had my back for 5 minutes and didn't choke me.
Yeah.
But that sort of progress, right? It's like, I think the lesson is like the progress, we only see it over time.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just, it's not like something that I was thinking one day when he gets my back again. Mm-hmm. It's just a training over time, I guess. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But you don't see it on a daily basis.
100%. That's like such a fascinating topic with jiu-jitsu, this idea of progress, because it's so hard to measure your progress. You almost, in my experience, correct me if you, you know, tell me how you feel about this, but it's, I just wake up one day and have this feeling after training, like, oh, John today is so much better than John was a year or 2 years ago at jiu-jitsu. I can't say, oh, I'm better than I was yesterday. I'm better than I was a week ago. You just have this feeling, like after a training session, like, oh, I did things a lot better than I would have done this time ago. Like, oh, I thought to do this. I thought to do that. It'd be so cool if we could have some way of actually measuring this, but I just don't. It's more of a feeling than something you can measure.
And it's also like almost like it is with life, right? Like where your training partners, they're also improving. They're not just sitting, waiting for you to get better,
right?
That's
so true.
And it's like, you know, like, let's say, for example, if you want to get good with anything, pretty much the world is moving, like, right? Like, I think, like, someone who was a singer and wanted, like, 50 years ago, it's like they don't just have to get good at singing. They have to get good at, like, understanding, like, how to use social media now, right? Like, nothing stops. But since we're in that topic, right, of progress, I wanted to ask you, it's been 10 years, bro. Like, seriously.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's like, how do you manage, like, expectations? And especially, what is your view on this? Is it more, because, like, the way I see it is, like, consistency and patience.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, patience by... And I think patience is a very active thing because, like, there is, like, almost, like, this carrot in your mind of, like, ah, I want to get there. And it's like, no, I want to get there, but I just got to keep coming to training and getting good at this, and I'll get there eventually. But at the same time, so it's being persistent, right? So what do you think it's, how do you see this? Is it, like, do you have to be persistent of, like, I'm going to get there?
Yeah.
Like, can you keep that a long term until you get to the next phase? Or
I think... That's a really good question. Something that everybody who does jiu-jitsu will, if they're not struggling with it now, will eventually struggle with it. Especially if they say that a blue belt is the most likely time for you to quit jiu-jitsu.
Wow.
Which is a scary thing. And I'm sure everyone says to themselves, oh, I wouldn't be that guy. I wouldn't be the guy to quit, you know? But then a month goes by and they don't quit. I saw a really... cool YouTube video a while back, maybe even a year ago. There's this guy named Chewy. I think his channel is called Jiu-Jitsu on YouTube. But
Have you seen him?
So he answers questions about Jiu-Jitsu. He's a black belt. He's based in Kentucky in the U.S. And one of the questions that someone asked him was, how do you stay motivated to train every day? And Chewy was like, my friend, if I relied on motivation... That, like, feeling that you wake up and you're like, I want to go train. I'm so stoked to go train. Then these days, I wouldn't train as much as I should. He said, you know, I don't need motivation to go train. Training is, like, a part of my life, and it's what I love to do. I know at the end of the day, I love to train jiu-jitsu, and so that's what I'm going to do. So when my alarm goes off in the morning, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go train. And I had, like, a similar mentality with it because... You know, as Luis, our professor, told us, he said, he was joking with me when I had my white belt. He said, my friend, if you were to unfortunately pass away, I would show up at your grave and put a stripe on your grave. Which is, you know, the step in between getting a blue belt, not actually getting a blue belt. And so there are many days where I'd say to myself, oh, this is so bad. I've been training for so long and I'm a white belt. And people don't understand, not only is there a stigma with being a white belt. People treat you a certain way. Unfortunately, it's unfortunate, but people, you know, for example, when you're rolling, if two white belts are rolling and they happen to go into the area of higher belts, they have to be the ones to move always. It's just little things like that. It's a little matter of respect that you have to pay to the higher belts. And I would always think to myself, unfortunately, I've been training for so long and I don't get any of the quote unquote privileges that somebody who's been training for quite a long time gets. So long story short, I just had to stop. I had to take a step back and say to myself, do you love jiu-jitsu? And the answer to that question was, yes, I do love jiu-jitsu. And jiu-jitsu is like a relationship that I want to have for the rest of my life. And with jiu-jitsu, you're going to have some up times, you're going to have some bad times, like any relationship. And I want this relationship forever. So through the good and the bad, I want to be there. I hope that answered the question.
That is so beautiful, John.
No, that's actually really beautiful.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I hope that gives perspective to some of the white belts that may be listening to this. Trust me, there's a white belt out there that's been a white belt longer than you.
Yeah.
I hear some of the guys at the gym complaining, oh, I've been a white belt for 2.5 years. Oh, this is ridiculous.
I'm like, if this makes you feel better, Khabib is a white belt.
Yeah. Khabib Nurmagomedov. I definitely butchered his last name, but yeah. The UFC fighter, which you've all seen, he's a white belt, technically a white belt in jiu-jitsu. So when he goes and he trains at a jiu-jitsu gym, he puts a white belt on like the rest of us.
Yeah, even though he knows the skills of grappling. Mm-hmm. And I think the ranking of the belts is also a ranking of competence, mm-hmm. right? And like, I guess in jiu-jitsu, in society as well, but in jiu-jitsu it's like people get privileges based on their level of competence. And mm-hmm. the level of competence is represented by their belt. Yep. So some people might feel like it's fair, some people might feel like it's unfair, but I think maybe more important than what's fair, what's not fair, it's actually just like, it is also a privilege to actually do jiu-jitsu, right? To practice it every day.
100%.
And because I think what jiu-jitsu brings is bigger than anything that can any belt can give, right?
100%.
Like, so, yeah, because, I mean, a lot of people say, the belt don't matter. I think it does matter. Mm-hmm. And, I think it does matter because of giving you perspective in terms of what you're learning, where you are, but also in terms of, if you work hard for something, you know, like, it makes you feel good, you know?
Yeah.
It boosts your self-esteem and everything.
Yeah.
But on another note, Matt, here's what I think, right, about... I'm actually taken aback from what you said, because I was going to give you, like, this huge rant on how patience is, like, something that's very active. But then now I'm, like, thinking in terms of, if I love this, I'm actually going to take care of it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make, like, a...
Yeah, so let me... Sorry to interrupt you, but let me ask you this question. I think this is a really interesting question, and then we should probably move on to our Portuguese lesson. Because believe it or not, we've gone 27 minutes.
Holy moly.
I know. Which I doubt anyone wants to listen to us for that long. But the last question, and then I say we move on to Portuguese. Yeah. And we can talk more about this subject. Everybody feel free to chime in. Let us know if you like the subject.
Yeah.
We can definitely keep on it. But I think the final question should be, if I told you you're going to be a white belt forever, would you continue to train?
Ooh.
I know. Everyone's cringing at home right now. They're like,
God. Guys, like, before I answer, can you please leave a comment on this question? Like, on the comments below, if you're watching it on YouTube, if you just got this link from us on WhatsApp, just text us back.
Yeah.
Nobody needs to know your answer.
Yeah.
But, whoa, that's preposterous. I would, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I would. I think at this point, it's like a... I would. It would suck. It wouldn't feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But I would.
Yep.
Because, I mean, it would feel good to tap some black belts. Like, I mean, like, because I'd be training my whole life, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, how long have you been training? Just started last week.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I think I'd be in the same boat. And to be honest with you, I thought that was going to be the case for a while. So, you know, many years go by and I'm still a white belt. So that's what it was like. To be fair, I wasn't tapping any black belts.
Cool, man. So in very small, like one sentence, what's the most important thing you've learned as a white belt?
Oof. Persistence. Like, never. Persistence and that motivation aspect. You know, it's like, if this is something you love, you need to be able to put in perspective the highs and the lows that come along with it. Just treat jiu-jitsu like a valued relationship that you have. Just because you argue with someone doesn't mean you're going to give up on somebody that you love, in this case, jiu-jitsu. Just because you had a bad day with jiu-jitsu and everybody tapped you, todo mundo pasó el carro, doesn't mean that you should give up. Just show up the next day, step on the mat. It's a new day. That's what I learned the most.
Cool.
Yeah? Cool beans. Portuguese?
Portuguese.
Let's do it. So, today's phrase is a phrase that some of you may have seen at London Fight Factory. It's actually on one of the jumpers that some of us have. It says, Iki, why don't you pronounce it for us?
Nunca desista dos seus sonhos.
Exactly. And what that means, I'll translate, you correct me if I'm wrong, but it means never give up on your dreams. Is that correct?
Yes,
thank
sir.
Thank you. I told you, blue belt in Portuguese.
Hey, yeah. One stripe.
So I think this is a perfect way to end our podcast with this phrase, because it relates to what we've been talking about. You know, never give up on your dreams. I'll say it again with my accent. Nunca desista dos seus sonhos.
Yeah, true story, man. We'll add a link also to interview someone did about our coach, which is a great story about someone who also not giving up on our dreams, mm-hmm. on his dreams, sorry. Yeah. Guys, thanks so much for listening.
Thank you. We really do appreciate it. It's if you've made it this far, you're becoming an expert at listening to our podcast. I will award you a blue belt in listening to podcasts.
A stripe.
A stripe. I said, yeah, you're right. Good point. Just a stripe.
Can't just give it away that easy.
Yeah. Okay. You got to listen to the next episode. Cool, guys. We will see you next time. Hope you enjoyed. Shulosophy, we're out.
Much love.
Peace.